This morning, we're in the book of Matthew, chapter 4. In particular, verses 18 to 22. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. Matthew 4, 18 to 22. I'll read those. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship, with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we study these verses on the early days of four of the disciples, may these verses inspire us to follow our Savior in our life as we live, that we live here on earth today. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew, in chapter 3 of Matthew, that's when we read the account of when John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And as soon as he was baptized, he was led in the Spirit into the wilderness, as it says in verse 1 of chapter 4. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, Satan came along and tempted Jesus three separate times to sin. But Jesus rebuked Satan with scripture every single time. And the devil left Jesus. And then Jesus was served by angels. Matthew 4:11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus had heard that John the Baptist had been put in prison after this. He then went to Galilee to live in Capernaum, which is on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. And that's to fulfill a prophecy that Isaiah gave. And I'll just read Matthew 4:12 to 16. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zabulon and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zabulon and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And it was at this time that Jesus began to preach repentance to the people. If you look at verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So this brings us to verse 18, when Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee. It was a source of fish, freshwater lake, a source of fish. And historians say that there were about 200 boats on the lake every day. Jesus was walking along the northern part of the lake in Capernaum, where Matthew was. He's not talked about here. He's later on. And as we know, Matthew was a tax collector. We read in verse 18, Jesus saw two brothers, Peter and Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were just at the end of their work sometime in the morning, and the brothers, James and John, they had finished fishing and they were mending their nets. The two brothers were business partners with Peter and probably Andrew, because we read that in Luke 5, verse 10. Says, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. That's Simon Peter. So they knew each other, right? The four men knew each other probably quite well. So early in the morning, Jesus sees these men. And he comes to Peter and Andrew and he says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." He's saying, look, forsake what you're doing. Just leave it and come and follow me. This is an important statement that applies to each one of us. The first part of his statement, to follow him, it's an invitation to us to follow him. We have a choice whether we want to follow Jesus or not. That's our part. But the second part, when Jesus says, "I will make you fishers of men," that's his part, right? Jesus said, if you choose to follow me, I will do a work in your life. The first part is up to us. The second part is up to him. And that's the two main points we can draw from that. The first is Jesus, he has the right to claim our lives. He has the authority to call us to follow him. And his right to say this belongs to him alone. Jesus has this right because our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. As believers, we belong to God. We have been bought with a price, right? The life of Christ on the cross. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Our body and our soul belong to God. Not only does Jesus have the right to claim your life and the right to claim my life, but secondly, Jesus then has the power to transform your life. The one who claims our life can do something with it. Jesus says to me, "Follow me and give me your life." And then he takes your life and it makes a life that you could never have otherwise. Jesus can do with your life what you never can do by yourself, on your own. So let's consider these two points. The first is Jesus has the right to claim your life. When Jesus says, "Follow me," he's inviting you to come to him. He wants you to walk with him. He wants to teach you. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? Why does he invite us to follow him? First of all, Jesus, he wants a relationship with you. You see, the life, the Christian life, is to be a life of following Jesus. And Jesus wants to have a relationship with him. Our Christian life, it's not just one of following rules. We aren't to live by a list of do's and don'ts. And sometimes churches fall into that trap. That's legalism. Jesus wants a living and he wants an abiding relationship with you and with me. He wants you to walk with him every single day. He wants you to learn about him. He wants a relationship to develop and get so close that you want to be like him. He wants you to have the mind of Christ. Like a little boy who looks up at his father. He says, "I want to be just like my dad." And he likes to copy his dad and do what his dad does. Jesus wants you to follow him closely and to be by his side every single day. Just like that hymn, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." So how's your relationship with Jesus Christ? What have you learned about him this week? Do you walk with him daily? Do you talk with him? You know, we don't attend church to check off a to-do list. You know, that's That's not why we're here. We're here to worship our Savior. We're here to learn about Him, to spend time praising Him. We attend church to get closer to Jesus and strengthen our relationship with Him. And that's why we have Wednesday Bible study as well, and prayer is to develop our relationship with our Savior. That's what Jesus wants. He wants a relationship with each one of you and with me. And to have a good relationship with Him, we need to follow Him. And you know, choosing to follow Jesus isn't something foreign to us as believers, because He has the right to claim your life. He has the right to claim my life. We have the Spirit of God in us. We have Christ is in my heart. He's in your heart. So we belong to Him. Jesus wants a relationship with you and me. And also, secondly, it's a rational choice to follow Jesus. If Jesus knocked at your door at home and He said, if He invited you to follow Him, would you go? Yeah, I trust you would, because you know who Jesus is. He's your Savior. You've been born again and you have the Holy Spirit in you as a believer. However, if Jesus was to come to the door of an unbeliever's home, they wouldn't know Him. If He invited them to follow Him, they would be very apprehensive and nervous. They might call the cops. Who knows what they'd do? But you know, when Jesus, when He called Peter, Andrew, James, and John to follow Him, these men already knew Him. In fact, between Matthew 4:11 and Matthew 4:18, when the devil left Jesus, and then in verse 18, when He invited the men to follow Him, there was a period of months between these two verses. It didn't just happen instantly. And during that time, Peter and Andrew and James and John, they got to know about Jesus. And we read about the events that happened in John chapters 1 to 4. These events happened during that period. In John 1:29, it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And this was after Jesus had been baptized. And there were two disciples, John, who heard John the Baptist say this. And these two disciples followed Jesus. They wanted to know who He was and where He lived. And they came to a place where Jesus lived, and they stayed with Him for a day. One of these men was Andrew. John 1 verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed Him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And after Andrew spent the day with Jesus, he went and got his brother Peter. Andrew was excited because he had found Jesus Christ. He believed that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. And in John 1:41, it says, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. So Peter and Andrew followed Jesus along with Philip and Nathanael, and they went with Jesus to the wedding of Cana. Remember that? That's when Jesus turned the water into wine. And they saw Jesus perform His first miracle. That's what the Bible said. That was the first miracle Jesus performed. He did this to show His glory to the disciples. John 2:11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. And then the disciples, they might have been with Jesus when He met Nicodemus one evening in John chapter 3. And that's when Jesus told Nicodemus he needed to be born again to see the kingdom of God. And the disciples, they would have gone, well, they did. They went with Jesus to Samaria where he met the woman at the well. The men weren't around when Jesus was talking to the woman, but they heard Jesus speak when the Samaritans came from town to speak to Jesus. John 4:40 and 41. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. And then later on in John 4:54, Jesus performed his second miracle by healing the nobleman's son. And Peter and Andrew, Nathanael and Philip, they would have been with Jesus, and possibly James and his brother John. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judah into Galilee. That's John 4:54. So when Jesus shows up to the lake and he invites Matthew and Andrew and Philip and John to follow him, they already knew who he was, right? And they knew what he preached. They knew he was, they believed he was the Messiah. That, you see, for us, it's the same. We know who he is. We know what he's done for us. And we know what he's preached to us. We're to follow Jesus because we know who he is. Jesus has the right to claim your life. He has the right to claim my life. He wants us to follow him, each one of us. So, and we can follow him because we know who he is. We know him. But also when Jesus says, follow me, it's realistic to us because we know him. So you might ask, is following Jesus realistic? When Jesus invited the disciples to follow him, they left everything and they followed him every day. But is that realistic for us? It is realistic. Remember, Christ is in us and we belong to him. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Following Jesus today means learning about him, hearing his word, and following his example. That's what we're called to do. We're called to spend time daily with him in the word of God. Our calling to follow Jesus is no less important than the calling of the disciples 2,000 years ago. You have to ask yourself, am I following Jesus every day? Am I walking in Christ every day? Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Have you changed the priorities in your life to follow Jesus? Are you reading his word every day? Are you applying it to your life? Are you doing what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Jesus Christ is your Savior. He's my Savior. He's calling us to follow him. And you know, you think of all the things you do in your life. You know, this doesn't mean you leave your family, you abandon your children, you quit your job. You know, you don't do that. But you see, of all the things you do in your life, only the things you do for Christ will last. And that's, we have to remember that. You know, the call to follow Jesus, it's urgent, especially today when we see what's happening in our world. Will you answer the call to follow him? Are you following him? Jesus has the right to claim your life. He has the right to claim my life. He wants a relationship with each one of us. And it's rational and a realistic choice to follow Jesus. That's all we have to do, just follow him. And when we follow him, he'll do the rest. And that's my second point. Jesus has the power to transform your life. As he says in second part of verse 19, I will make you fishers of men. We're not to think, I can't follow him because I can't do what he wants me to do. I'm not a soul winner. I can't tell others about Jesus Christ. But that's not our job. In the sense, all we're to do is follow Jesus. We're to learn of him. We're to walk with him. And Jesus, he'll do the work. We can't make ourselves into something. It's Jesus who will make us. All we have to do is follow him, to learn of him, and to love him. And he will do in you what you cannot do yourself. He will make you fishers of men. That's his promise. It's in the Bible. It's God's word. And we see, first of all, a promise of transformation. We have this promise in other scriptures. For instance, in Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You see that? God's doing the good work in you. You're not doing it on your own. In Ephesians 2:10, he tells us that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When you follow Jesus, when I follow Jesus, he will change us. He will change you. People will look at you and say, what happened to you? What happened to Tim Kiefer? He's such a different man than he was. You know, you're different since you've become a Christian. I know I am. But it's Jesus Christ who makes the difference. It's not me. It's Jesus who changes us. You know, when a timid person follows Jesus and they follow him faithfully, he'll take that person and make them a bold witness for Christ. When you follow Jesus, he does a work of grace in you and he gives you victory over habitual sins, something you could never do yourself. Jesus promises to transform you when you follow him. He promises you, I will make you fishers of men. But what we must realize, our transformation takes time. It's a process of transformation. When we follow Jesus, it takes time to transform us. And we can't follow Jesus for a while and then turn away. When things don't go well, throw up our hands in despair. Think of the disciples. They followed Jesus every day. Some days were better than others. Some days they were with crowds, with thousands of people. Other times there were just a few people who walked away in unbelief. And there were times they faced religious leaders who called them heretics. Sometimes they enjoyed lavish feasts, and other times they didn't have enough to eat. When we follow Jesus, we aren't promised good health. We're not promised people will like us or they'll respond to us, but following Jesus is always the right thing to do. When we follow Jesus, he transforms us. He knows you. He knows me. We're all different. He knows what we need, each one of us need in our lives. He knows what trials will shape us, what verses will impact us. He knows what people will influence us. We just have to follow him, stay close. And let Jesus make you the person he wants you to be. We have to submit to him. He has the right to claim your life. And he will transform you as he promised he will. It's a process. It can be difficult. But the goal of Jesus is to make you a product of transformation. You know that hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. You know, that's what we have to think. Take my life, Lord. Let it be what you want it to be. Isaiah 64:8 says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand." You know, if you would yield to Jesus, say, "Look, I want to be just like you." What would you be like? What would you do when Jesus, would you do what Jesus said in Luke 19:10, why he came? "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's why Jesus came to earth. He can came to save lost sinners. He came to save you. He came to save me. Paul repeated why Jesus came to earth in 1 Timothy 1:15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Jesus didn't come to judge us. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. He came to save lost people. And if you follow Jesus, you'll become more like him. You will learn what his priorities are, where his heart is. As Jesus said, "If you follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. I ask you today, are you a fisher of men? I cannot say that of myself. I fish for souls like I fish for fish, sporadically. We have to be committed fishers of men. I haven't turned to him enough and followed him daily as I should. You know, the problem today is with me, and maybe some of you or many of you, is we're okay with that. The world is, it's a nice place, right? We're all comfortable and we go about doing our business, raising the children, family, working. But we forget about those lost souls that we meet every single day. Go to Canadian Tire. You go to whatever, grocery store. And I'll look, "Oh, gee, I don't have a track." Like, that shouldn't be like that with me. You see, I must follow Jesus every single day with my whole heart. And that's what he wants all of us to do. If we don't, we won't be fishers of men. We need to follow Jesus. We need to get to know him. We must love him with our whole heart. That's the first greatest commandment. "Thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." And when you have that love for Christ and you see the love he has for lost souls, you know, just think of his love for you. He died for you. You didn't deserve to be saved. I didn't deserve to be saved. None of us are good enough. But he still loved us. He went to the cross. And whatever sins you've ever committed in your life, he took those sins with him, nailed it to the cross. And his shed blood washed those sins away when you put your faith in him. I'll just close by giving three things, just summing things up. First is we need to recognize that Jesus has a claim in our life. Our life isn't about what I want to do. It's about what Jesus wants me to do. Secondly, we need to make a daily commitment to follow Jesus, to know him better, to strengthen our relationship with him. We need to hear from him through his word every day, at least once a day, maybe more. We need to make a daily commitment to follow him. And we need to check our hearts. Thirdly, we need to check our hearts by asking ourselves, do I have an increased desire for people to be saved? Do I have a desire that people turn to Christ to be saved from hell, eternity in hell? When we find ourselves weeping like over lost souls, I'd say that's when we're truly following Jesus all the time. It's like Psalm 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When we have a burning desire to tell others about our great Savior, and we know we're following Christ, and Jesus has made each one of us a fisher of men. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you that we have the gospel that we can share with lost souls. Lord, I pray that you would just give each one of us a desire to be followers. I know we're believers. We've been saved and washed clean by the shed blood of your Son. And Lord, there are so many souls that are lost in our community, and people we work with, people we meet in stores and socially, our family. Please, Lord, just give us boldness as we continue to live here on earth. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.